When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, you are listening to Proverbs with Daisy Maskell. It is me, Daisy. Welcome. This is a podcast all about extraordinary people and extraordinary stories. Here we will shine the spotlight on their journeys and hopefully learn something about ourselves and the way that we live our lives from their experiences too. Join me for the next half an hour as we get to know our guest. Hello, how are you doing? Now, this is a subject in this episode that has kept me up many of nights talking with friends. It is all about dreams and whether they can be warnings for the future or signs from people in our past. Really fascinating stuff. Now, I am joined by Teresa Chung, who is a dream interpreter and spiritual author, here to answer some of our most pressing questions.
So I already know that this episode is going to be a long one. So if you are listening, make sure you have your snacks at the ready. This has sort of a 3 a.m. thoughts written all over it as well. We're talking about dreams on today's episode. I have got the incredible, it's actually an honor to speak to this woman. Teresa Chung is here. Now, she is a dream interpreter. She also speaks a lot about spirituality and consciousness too. And she's a best-selling author. The woman does it all. It's such an honor to be speaking to you, Teresa. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, likewise. It's an honor to be here talking to you, Daisy. I cannot wait to start talking.
I feel like you and I enjoy a chat, so I do know this is going to be a long one. So I actually put something out on my social media just before we had this conversation, and I was overwhelmed with responses. You're a very, very popular woman. And the top response was people talking about their dreams, but specifically talking about experiencing dreams whereby if they've had a loved one or a friend or family member that has passed recently, feeling as though they're trying to communicate with them through their dreams. Can you tell us a little bit more about this? Because I know I have personal experience with this. My granddad, we had a really close relationship. He passed about 10 years ago. And when he first passed, he used to visit, well, I felt like it was him visiting me, or at least appearing in my dreams often. Is this a way of people that may have past, is this a way for them to communicate with us?
Absolutely. In my humble opinion, it is an afterlife communication, a connection showing us that death ends a life and not a relationship, because anyone who's lost a loved one will know that although their physical form is gone, the relationship continues, the memories are strong, you still feel that that person is just around the corner. And of course, being a mystical author, I firmly believe that that person is, and that they are within us and all around us. And one of the most gentle and subtle, non-threatening ways for departed loved ones to let us know that they are infinite, they haven't gone, they're just in a different state of consciousness or a different realm, is through dreams. And many people say, oh, I don't feel my loved one's presence. And I said, well, have you dreamt of them? And they said, well, yes, I have. And I said, well, that's a connection. Where are you when you dream? This miraculous place where nothing is quite what it seems, but it feels so real when you're having it. And that's a hallmark, actually, of afterlife dreams, is this sense, this is real. This is that person. This is their essence. And I write a lot about these kind of afterlife dreams and as a way of making us feel that there is more to this life than meets the eye, that, and that when we go to our final sleep, maybe, just maybe, there's something out there. But I'd also like to point to scientific research, which shows that people who dream of departed loved ones, in over 90% of cases, this really helps the grief journey, which is the toughest journey of all our lives, grief.
It is one of the most comforting experiences. I remember, I think particularly in, you know, those initial stages of grief, to feel and to even see and hear that person. I mean, the dreams that I've had, those ones specifically where I feel like I've been visited by a loved one, those ones feel more vivid and more real than any other dream that I've had before. And it certainly brings so much comfort. So I can completely agree and relate to you with that.
I mean, it's a form of visitation, and you just wake up thinking they've not gone. Their essence is somewhere. I don't understand where. I don't know all the answers, but you feel that this life is not all that there is, that there is something more. And every time you close your eyes and you think of that person and you picture them, that's another way of keeping them alive, because it's said people die twice, the first time when they physically die, and then the second time when nobody remembers them or connects with them anymore. And you can keep that relationship ongoing throughout your life. You can continue a relationship with a departed loved one in spirit. And that's quite a difficult thing for a lot of people to understand. They think that you're not getting over it and you've got to move on. But you talk to anyone who's lost someone dear, they don't want to move on. They want to keep the memory. They want to keep that relationship alive. And it gives them great comfort as well, and a feeling like a guardian angel watching over them. I know with all the people I've loved and lost that, you know, having this ongoing relationship through my dreams, through my memories, through my thoughts, through signs as well and coincidences, gives me tremendous strength and a sense that there's more to this life. There's a deeper meaning behind all this material stuff that we focus so much on.
That is such a beautiful and insightful way of looking at things. I don't necessarily get dreams anymore. I haven't had a dream in a really long time, but what I do get, Therese, and I don't know whether you can sort of share any insight on this, my granddad will almost appear, I can almost hear him like a voice in my head sometimes. So I'll be walking around and it's not that I'm particularly thinking about him or I'm doing something that reminds me of him. It can be in the most random times, at the most random moments. And I will hear him say a phrase or comment on something that I'm doing. And it's almost as if he's standing behind me, so much so that I've almost turned and looked over my shoulder. What is going on with this, Teresa? And is this something that you have noticed other people experience as well?
It's that feeling of being stared at or turning around because you're convinced someone's there, or hearing a voice, or just sensing a presence. These experiences have been reported since the beginning of time. And so many people have this sense of connection with departed loved ones. And in any other realm, these are witness statements that need to be treated as data, that need to be researched. And that's what I've been passionately doing these last few years, working with scientists to research what is going on when people have this sense of connection and an otherworldly presence. And there's an overwhelming amount of anecdotal stories that keep on and on happening, despite what, you know, the skeptics will say it's all imagination. It's not. There's a real difference between imagination and sensing, just sensing the presence of someone close to you who has departed, and hallucination. Because, for example, hallucination tends to leave people feeling very disorientated and disempowered, whereas these experiences actually have the opposite effect. They give people tremendous sense of purpose and hope. And that's why I think they are so vital, that they are part of the human experience. And we don't fully understand the human experience yet whilst we're alive. So understanding it, what happened when we've departed, is next level stuff. I'm devoted my life to trying to uncover what science says about it. But also talking to people who've had these experiences, people who believe that they have a connection with the other side, mediums or psychics, if you want to use that word, or people who don't call themselves mediums or psychics, but are like yourself, that just know that your grandfather's still with you somehow, somewhere. And I just think it's utterly beautiful.
It is. It really is. I could talk about this all day, and it's often a subject that I go into. I sort of said at the start of this episode that this has 3 a.m. thoughts written all over it, but I could talk about this for hours and hours and hours, and it brings you so much comfort, and it really, I feel like it really has helped me to understand the meaning and the purpose of life as well, which I think is a really important and beautiful thing.
The departed have so much to tell us and so much to share, because they can see the bigger picture. They're also there to remind us that although we often feel alone. I mean, life can sometimes be a lonely business. I mean, we're born alone and we die alone, but we are never alone if we have this expanded sense of consciousness and interconnection with others, and also those who have departed, who are always there watching over us in some esoteric realm. As I say, I don't know all the answers, and I'm very aware I don't want this to come across as woo-woo or mumble-jumble. You know what I mean? But I want it to also know that the science of consciousness is very real at the moment. There's a whole new breed of scientists who are researching the inner world, the role of our feelings, the role of our memories, the role of our dreams, afterlife experiences, near-death experiences. And it's called the science of consciousness, and it's an emerging science, which is so very, very exciting.
I don't know if you've seen this, but this is one of my favorite things that I have watched sort of as of recently. It was a series on Netflix called Surviving Death. Did you see it?
Yes, I know the researchers who were the background scenes to help with the research. It's Leslie Keen, isn't it?
It was so great. I really love that. And I've spoken to many people, but both, you know, people that I know, friends and family members, but also people that have reached out to me as well, whether it be through social media or other bits of work that I do, that have lost someone. And I've actually referred them onto watching that program because I think it instilled a lot of hope, and it allows you to look at death in a much different light as well. It was really, really beautiful. And one particular episode that I found really interesting, and I didn't know much about this until I watched this, was the episode that spoke about past lives. Mm-hmm. And it was the episode that featured children that had past lives and could remember their past lives. I found that absolutely fascinating. Do you believe in past lives? And do you feel like, with dreams in particular, is that a way for us to travel or reconnect with past lives at all?
Absolutely. I mean, I believe that the mind can exist separate from our bodies and our brains. So mm-hmm. what I'm talking about is consciousness, that we can travel places in our consciousness. And that's where we go when we dream, when we have memories, when we have intuitive hunches, etc. And that's where the science is clustering about now at the moment. Consciousness existing separate from body and brain, which is what happens in a near-death or out-of-body experience. So as science is starting to show that there might just be something there, that consciousness can exist separate from this material form, if that's possible, I believe it is, but that's just my opinion, and there is a difference between opinion and fact, I'm aware of that. If that's possible, then of course reincarnation would be a possibility. Because it opens up all sorts of possibilities that the soul comes back again to Earth, because I very much think of this Earth, this life, as school. We are here to learn. And if we're not learning, that's almost like dying whilst you're still alive. You've got to continue opening up and learning new experiences, getting right out of your comfort zone time and time again, because that's why we're here. We find our meaning through learning, opening our mind to the new, evolving. And from all I gather from people who believe that they have seen the other side or glimpsed the afterlife in a near-death experience, when you go there, the learning doesn't stop either. It's just infinite. It's like space. I mean, we have no problem with thinking of space as infinite. Why can't our consciousness also be infinite? And if you've ever sat with someone who died, I used to work in a hospice before I went to university. So you see the spark going, but then you see the body and you realize this person, that's not them anymore. They've gone, they're liberated. And I think that wonderful Mary Fry poem, "Do not stand at my grave at weep and weep, I am not there, I do not sleep." That captures the essence of this belief in consciousness surviving independent of the material. And I do believe that when people have, it's when you've lost someone you're very close to, that's when you awaken to that idea. Before, you probably don't want to go there, but when you have lost someone who's very important to you, you know that that connection hasn't ended. Reincarnation, Dr. Ian Stevenson at the University of Virginia pioneered research into reincarnation, and it's still ongoing, actually. And you're right, focusing on children, because that's great for the skeptics, because how can children so very, very young have these detailed memories? You know, because they're way too young to have them imprinted by parents or carers or whatever sometimes. And they have found that, you know, that they go and track down what these children are reporting in their dreams or memories, and they find out it's true. This is incredible. This is unexplained. This merits much greater research.
It is just so unbelievable. And anyone that is sort of looking to look into sort of reincarnation any further, I would definitely redirect you to that documentary and that particular episode on Netflix. It's called Surviving Death. I know exactly what you mean as well, Teresa, when you say, you know, you've obviously been around people that have passed in person, and I have as well. And I actually think those were some of the most grounding, and it sounds strange, and I'm using this word so often, but it was one of the most beautiful experiences to actually be around to see that. And I know exactly what you mean, whereby you really start to see the body as just a shell. And I almost found, I always say, if I didn't go into the field that I went into, I would definitely, I find a lot of peace in death. And I know that sounds, it sounds so strange, and I think it's not something that I would necessarily say if I was on a first date.
I enjoy walking in cemeteries, which people thought I'd be chained hanging out in a cemetery. I feel I'm not scared at all, you know, in cemeteries, because as I say, the living are much more scary than the dead. You know, people are more scary than ghosts. But you're right, because death is a miracle that ends our life. Birth begins it, and we have so much celebration about the miracle of birth and preparation for it, you know, but we are all going to die. That unites us all, and it is also a miracle, because with every ending is a new beginning. And if you believe in that we are spirit, death is just a final shedding of the material form, and that your spirit is free to evolve further. But death is a miracle, and to have a beautiful death is possible. We always have this terminology, you've got to fight to the end, and you've got to fight death, and it's like cheated if death gets you. But when it's your time, just letting go and letting the natural process happen can be incredibly beautiful, not just for the person experiencing it, but for those gathered around the bedside. It can be a very healing, beautiful experience.
I have a best friend, and we are literally like soul sisters. I mean, we're just, you cannot separate the two of us. And we've been best friends for a really, really long time. And we often find that when we're together often, or if we go away together and we're physically sleeping in the same bed, we often find that we become very in sync with each other, even more in sync than we usually are. And we almost finish each other's sentences the following day. And we've actually had experiences where our dreams have almost synced up. And this really reminds me, I'm referencing another Netflix show, like they're paying me. They're not the sponsor of this podcast, but they are great. So we'll give them a shout out. There was another show, I think it was called Behind Her Eyes. And that spoke a lot. Yes, yeah. Teresa, you and I are soul sisters as well. This was really great. This was about astral projection, wasn't it?
Astral projection, yeah. And actually, my only concern with it is it made, you know, people fear dreaming, which is what I'm on a mission. I mean, I loved it. It was so entertaining. It was absolutely brilliant. That ending, I won't spoil it, but that ending was so good. Yeah, it was brilliant. I absolutely loved it. But there's nothing to fear from the dreaming process. People think that if you astral travel, as it were, go into the dream state, that you can disconnect from your body. That can never happen whilst you're alive. It can't happen. You're totally safe when you dream. And I'm on a mission to stop the fear of dreams and get people to fall in love with their dreams, because dreams are the key to everything. I believe actually one of the reasons we go to sleep is to dream. And I think dreams have so much they want to tell us, but we just don't understand how to talk to them and understand them. And once we do know their language, it's so empowering, because you'll find how your dreams are offering you insights into your waking life that you hadn't realized. Because you see, dreams are the language of your heart, your intuition. And during the day, our heart and our intuition, because we're so busy with external stuff and ego and logic and reason, the voice of our heart and our intuition is often squashed. It doesn't have a chance against these domineering voices. But at night, you see, when you fall asleep and you go into the altered state of dreaming, where your intuition reigns and it can speak to you loud and clear. And the messages it gives you can actually really help you understand yourself better and others and your life. But one of the reasons people don't understand their dreams is because dreams speak in this weird symbolic metaphorical language that you've got to start learning how it all works.
I think for a lot of people, that fear comes from a lack of understanding as well. And I've suffered with insomnia for most of my life. And I think that I very much got into a state when I was at my worst, when I was really suffering with insomnia, I became fearful to fall asleep as well, because I didn't yeah. understand what was going on. And I really had to make an effort to sort of understand and research and explore and tap into sort of my spirituality and what goes on when I do fall asleep. And I found that really helped with my healing process as well. I also did experience, I don't think I experienced the extreme end of the spectrum of sleep paralysis, but I think that I can definitely sort of relate to that feeling of being trapped, sort of being in this weird state between being awake and aware that I wasn't in a dream, but sort of feeling trapped and feeling really disconnected from my own body as well, which can be very, very scary. But I think as a whole, dreaming and sleeping and consciousness and exploring, you know, our state of consciousness is a really beautiful and interesting thing, and it's not to be feared at all.
No, I'm glad you touched on your insomnia, because I found that really fascinating, because waking up in the early hours or whatever and not being able to sleep is a sign or symptom of spiritual awakening or the need to. It's like your intuition or your dreaming mind, I call it your nocturnal therapist, is keeping you awake because something really, there's an energy shift that you need to understand what's happening and not fear and just embrace. And I would suggest with the sleeping and or not sleeping, that you don't try to sleep at all. You just write down whatever's on your mind, because you're awake for a reason. You're wide awake for a reason. And some of the most sacred and great moments come in those early morning. It's a very sacred time, as you say, 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning is very, very sacred. And if you look at some great inventions, works of art, works of literature, they have all been inspired in those early hours. If you know, I research it, and there's a whole sleepless elite out there, you know, ranging from people like Obama, Lady Gaga, Jack Dorsey, who also struggle to sleep. But it's almost like, because they've got so much creativity inside them, that they have to stay awake to to pump out these ideas. So what you need to do is you need to write down whatever creative ideas are coming to your mind, not try to sleep at all, just stay awake.
It's so true, Teresa, because when I actually filmed a documentary on my insomnia most recently, thank you so much. One thing that I was concerned about was I'm one to therapize myself, and I've definitely sort of learned the benefit of speaking about my emotions and, you know, when appropriate, getting professional help as well. But one thing that I would find, which was, it sort of felt counterproductive when I was, you know, up at 3, 4, 5 in the morning, not getting any sleep at all, was to stay up and was to give in to that urge of sort of restlessness. I didn't want to force myself to go to sleep. I didn't even want to go into my bedroom and lay in bed and toss and turn. I actually wanted to give in to that feeling, that it's almost like a rush that I feel that I get when I can't sleep or when I'm suffering with insomnia. And I really find that is most beneficial to me, to not fight it, really.
As I say, Larry Page, he was waking up in the morning, and he had this dream about, you know, putting all the web pages on one page, and then and 2 years later he formed Google. So you know it's like, maybe there's a creative idea. You are very, very creative, intelligent person, and you've got a very active mind that needs to pour out stuff. You know, you remind me a bit, I hope you don't mind, of Frozen 2. You know that song, Into the Unknown?
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's you. Because she's lying there tossing and turning, and something's calling her. No plot spoilers here. If you haven't watched Frozen 2, please don't listen. But you know, she has to go on a journey because she thinks other people, it's her parents or other people. But of course, right at the end, we understand what she's calling her is self-awareness, self-knowledge and self-love. And that sense of completeness within herself is actually, she's actually calling herself. And you see, that's what dreams do as well, because when we dream, we're dreaming about aspects of our own personality in symbolic form. We are dreaming ourselves, our shadow side, our light side, our challenges, our hopes, our fears, our expectations. And that's why dream decoding can bring that sense of completeness and self-awareness, because self-understanding is the beginning of all wisdom. Also, if you're in a monastery or a nunnery, the call to prayer is at 2 or 3 a.m. for a reason. You know, they are woken up to pray because it's a sacred time. So if anyone's listening and they also waking up between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m., this is sacred. This is sacred time. And also, if a dream, chances are a dream has woken you up as well, because a dream, when it wakes you up, it's doing so because it wants you to write down what's on your mind and decode yourself. That's what dreams are trying to do there. Because I think most of us have no idea who we truly are. Because when we're growing up, we get it from school, from parents, from friends, then we get it from job, then from a relationship. If we have children, from children, that's how we label ourselves. But deep down, we don't actually know who on earth we are at all. And I think the journey of our lives is actually, who am I? What's going on within me? You know, discover that first, and then that can lead to self-care and self-love and taking care of that damaged inner child that all of us really need reparenting, because, you know, no parent's perfect. And we have to sort of become our own parents. And you see, in dreams, you can meet your inner child again, who's damaged and vulnerable. In dreams, you can meet your creative self. In dreams, you can meet your shadow. And most people want to deny or repress that they have angry or hateful or lustful or jealous or cheating impulses. Within them, we all have a shadow, just as there's day and night. Denying the shadow and repressing it is not going to work. You need to meet it, but then when you wake up, know it's within you. Know that you have the capacity for toxic behavior, but to choose to not do it, because that's true inner strength. Knowing you are capable of being negative and being toxic, but choosing not to act on it. That is a really fulfilled person with inner peace, not someone who preaches or represses or denies.
I think the biggest takeaways there for me was, if you are finding yourself up late at night, start writing things down, because there could be some serious money in the future if you come up with the next Google.
You are in fine company.
Continuing the conversation on Proverbs after this short break.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Teresa, is there any significance? I know there's a number of people that experience this. I think my mum experiences this a lot as well. And I definitely have previously, whereby you're waking up at the same time or at a certain time, whether that be 3, 4, 5 in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, there could be just a routine, because the body actually is interesting. The body is the total opposite of the mind. The body loves routine. The mind wants anything, but the mind needs stimulation, stimulation, stimulation. So it could be that the body has just got into a rhythm. However, also take a note of the time. You know, if you're into numerology or, you know, a significant time of day, maybe if it's always 3 a.m., research the number 3, get curious. What, you know, 3 is a very, very powerful magical number in numerology, all the spiritual and mystical associations with it. And when you start doing that and start not seeing these things as problems, like waking up in the morning or having a nightmare, if you start seeing these little gifts, learning gifts, and just mm-hmm. shift that from don't fear it and it's not a problem, it's actually something to treasure. It's priceless wisdom being given to me now. If you having that attitude can really, really help. Start becoming a detective of your own consciousness and your own life. Why 3 a.m.? You know, why is this happening? What do I do the night before? You know, because I'm sure it's not every night. Maybe keeping a diary to find out, is there a pattern that kind of triggers this waking at 3 a.m. You know, sleeplessness and a bit like any kind of, addictive behavior as well. For me, these are all symptoms, not the cause. What they are symptoms of is a thirst for wholeness and a thirst for meaning in life, that a part of you understands that this is not all that there is, that however successful my career is, however many followers I get, however much money I get, however perfect my relationship and my children, that's not everything. That doesn't define me. It's a thirst for spiritual wholeness and who I am. And I think actually that's the root of all sorts of addictive behaviors and problems, is that the spiritual element is missing, because we are mind, body, and soul. And we spend all our time focusing on the mind and body, rightly so, because we're in this human form, but we are soul.
This is something really new to me, and it's something that my best friend, she got me into, which is moon wishes. I feel like I have such a strong connection to the moon. I don't really study astrology, and I really should get into it, because I know that it would be something that I would be so interested in. But we often do our moon wishes. I think we do it on a new moon. She knows a lot more about it than I do. And we write down all of the things that we want to happen within the next month, wishing those things into existence. And I've had some great feedback from them as well. And it just makes you feel as though you are in more control of what sometimes feels like. Sometimes it feels like you're sort of out there alone. And it's nice to know that, you know, you never know what's around the corner. But I do feel as though tapping into spirituality, and maybe I should, you know, investigate astrology a little bit more. It makes me feel like I've got a much bigger sense of belonging. I understand the meaning of life a lot more. And then there are elements to life that can surprise you. And that can be really great as well. But I think having some sort of a foundation there is really important and really grounding.
Oh, that's so wise. That's so beautifully put as well. As above, so below. And, you know, if you think about the moon, you know, the moon rules the tides. We know that. We are 70% water, human beings. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the planets are going to exert some kind of influence on us. You know, we're part of this universe. We're not separate from it. So that's how I think of it, really, that when there are patterns in the sky, you know, if we tune into this, into them, we can really harness the energies to make decisions at the right time, etc. And what you were talking about really is manifesting, which is huge at the moment, which is the idea that really it's very, very simple. People think you have to do all these affirmations and repeat things 300 times a day. I really get frustrated with that. It just complicates what is delightfully simple, which is simply focus on what you want, be grateful for what you have. Don't focus on what you don't want and the problems, really, because then that will manifest. You know, you attract what you give out. So if you always, like, if, for example, if money is an issue and you're always worrying about paying the bills, of course you do have to. You have to be sensible, but you come from this feeling of lack. That's what's going to come back. No, you've got to do a Jim Carrey and write yourself a check for $7,000 or whatever. Because that's what he did. He famously wrote this check because he was broke. And, you know, it was like for millions of dollars or whatever. And said, that's what's going to have positive expectation for the future. Now, it's not an exact science, but I do know that if you're upbeat and you focus on the positive and you're grateful for this amazing miracle of a life. I mean, if you think about it, every morning when we wake up is a brand new miracle. I don't know why all of us aren't jumping up and down. Instead of immediately thinking of the negatives of what's in your life, focus on the positives. Not only are you more of a pleasure to be around, but somehow life loves that. And the same with relationships. A lot of people write to me saying, you know, I want to manifest a partner. You know, I'm so lonely. loneliness has become a big problem, especially today with so much of our lives distanced online in a way. But what you've got to think, no, I'm going to have a wonderful relationship with myself. I know that sounds odd, but you know, the most important relationship, the greatest love, truly is that relationship with yourself. And once you feel complete and whole when you're alone, you know what? Suddenly relationships happen. But the problem is people go into relationships with a position of need, and they need to want a relationship, not need it, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. They need to feel complete alone, be happy alone, and think, well, okay, be nice to have a relationship, but if I don't, I'm fine. I've mm-hmm. got my life, what I do, I've got friends, I've got plants, I've got my pets, I've got the world. If you feel happy like that first, it's always a recipe for disaster when people haven't got, that's why the divorce rate's so high, because people go into relationships expecting other people to complete them. They never will. That puts way too much expectation on someone else. I mean, they're grappling with their own self-understanding, and people change as well. I'm sure you found that. Nobody stays the same. And sometimes, you know, you lose friends because you've evolved at a different rate and they haven't.
That is my number one bit of dating advice that I share with everyone. And I was very careful about getting into a relationship. I think my life really did change when I was around 17, 18 years old. And I was going through a difficult time, and I really decided to take time out and invest it into myself and actually get to know myself. I think so many of us are so distracted by just the day-to-day life, just that rat race, that a lot of us don't know what we love and what interests us, and just really not, we just don't know ourselves as we should. And I found that once I got to know myself, and once I began to love myself and care for myself a lot more, that is when my life truly changed. And I wasn't prepared to get into a relationship until I was certain as to who I was, because I didn't want to put the burden on someone else of fixing me, but I didn't want to bring out the worst in other people as well, because I hadn't dealt with my own trauma, or I hadn't dealt with my own heart, or I just didn't know myself as a whole. And I think that a lot of self-worth can be taken away from you in a relationship as well, and you can end up relying on another person, and that makes it very, very difficult to see a life without someone if you found that you're relying on that person. But I often say, I think we just before we started recording, I said I'm a massive homebody, and I think I really find I love social interaction, and it's so much a part of what I do. I think one of the biggest, greatest blessings in life is relationships and talking and learning from other people. But I find that when I socialize, or when I give myself away too much to other people, I almost see a meter of my energy dropping down. And sometimes I need just time to myself, exclusively to myself, whether that's even me sitting in a room and reading a book, or being comfortable with my own thoughts, for my energy to build back up again, and for me to be okay, and for me to go and socialize once again. But I think it's really important to be okay and alone with your own thoughts. I really saw the benefit of getting to know myself, and that brought about so much self-love and empowerment as well.
Well, you are such an illumination, really, because it's taken me decades to get where you are now.
I haven't got it figured out.
You are such a light. You know, goodness knows if you're there, you know, getting there already, because that's when it begins, you know. And don't ever be afraid to shine bright, you know, anyone listening, because often when you do step into your own power, you find that other people don't like it sometimes because they're not. And that can be very difficult, because you obviously want the people you love to go with you or celebrate you. And sometimes people are not able to do that. And it's just realizing that sometimes it's lonely at the top of the hill, but that's the only way to be, because as I say, we are born alone and we die alone. That is the journey. I do think that the end of our journey is knowing ourselves for the very first time. And that's what our life is all about, the beginning and the end.
I think it was interesting what you said as well about prioritizing yourself. I think when we look at prioritizing ourselves, people can very quickly use the word selfish. And I think there's a massive difference between prioritizing yourself and being selfish. And that took me a really long time, because I remember when I started prioritizing myself for the very first time, not everyone liked it, but it's about sticking to your guns and realizing that you're so right. We're born alone and we die alone. And that doesn't mean that we live a selfless, reckless life, not considering other people, but you have to have a good relationship with yourself. Before anything, I feel.
Also, that makes you feel not alone, that you know you've got your back.
Absolutely.
That you are, you know, that it's, you know, your intuition and your dreams and your heart and your understanding that maybe death isn't the end. This is what your true soulmate is, mm-hmm. your true sense of completeness. And getting to that state when you know you've got your own back, that's when life truly, truly opens up and gets wonderfully exciting.
Teresa, I wanted to ask you just before we get into some specific.
Before we go on from astrology, you're a Libra, aren't you?
I am a Libra.
Zac Efron shares your birthday, and I think this is very much looking at people who are on the same birthday as you. Sometimes that can give us clues and hints and tips, and I think.
Yeah.
October the 18th is a very special day for me, because this is another wonderful synchronicity. It was my mother's birthday.
That day. Beautiful again.
It's beautiful. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, but she's long since passed now. She passed in the 90s. But it's a beautiful day of vulnerable expectation. That's kind of how I look at it, of fiery creativity, wanting harmony, but also the journey. Born translators, born people who have the ability to make something complicated simple for others. Those are all the alignments from that day, because I've written a lot about birthday power and astrology, as you know. So just to say, I think you've got an amazing birthday.
I love that. And you know what, Teresa, every time that I celebrate my birthday, I will genuinely think of your mother now as well.
Because I found people born on the same day as me, I'm an April baby, it's remarkable sometimes, the similarities. Yeah. So I hope you interview Zac Efron. Be interesting.
I will. I'll put him on my list. Maybe we'll get him on the next season of the podcast. That would be fun. Teresa, I wanted to ask you if you had, I guess, where your spirituality came from, or if you had any spiritual or paranormal experiences as a child. We spoke about, you know, children being reincarnated, and children, I feel like children are so innocent and pure, and they are sort of detached from a lot of distractions in the world, and I think we can learn a lot from children as well. What was your first sort of experience, or what was your experience as growing up as a child like?
Well, I grew up in a family of, you know, a traveling family, very alternative. My mother was Indonesian, my father was disabled and British, and very, very poor. So it was a very alternative upbringing. I was home educated as well. Goodness knows how I got into Cambridge. I don't know, because I was just home educated. But I grew up in a family of people who believed in dream power, who were always consulting astrological charts, numerology, believed in life after death. I would go to demonstrations of mediumship at the age of 4 or 5. So it was actually commonplace for me to think of death as not the end, and that there was this whole world of spirits out there. It was only when I went to university that I realized that most people don't actually share that belief, and that took me in. So, but actually throughout my childhood, it was more people I believed and I loved witnessing messages from spirit and seeing them being very healing for people, understanding that you can laugh and cry at the same time, seeing that in grown adults when, you know, my mother, who was a medium, was able to bring through a spirit of a departed loved one. But I didn't actually have any ability myself. I didn't think I did. And it wasn't actually until my early 30s that I had a mind-blowing bout of intuition or a dream that I feel really actually may well have saved my life on the day, because it was a dream about my mother. She'd recently passed, and she told me to take the right path. And that dream came into my mind when I was at a busy junction, and I was supposed to go left. And for some reason, because I almost heard her voice, I went right. And I truly believe that because there was a horrific accident, which was reported on the news, of a big pile up. It could be coincidence, but then again, what is coincidence? I write about that as well. Is it synchronicity? And then following that, it was kind of like an awakening, really, of powerful moments of intuition, signs, but I wouldn't call myself a medium or psychic. I never have. I just don't need to call myself that because I believe we all have it in us. I believe sixth sense is in our DNA. Mm-hmm. I believe, and actually I'm preaching to the converted here because I think research shows that like 4 out of 6 people believe in this too. It's just that vocal 2% who are saying no, no, no. But if you put these vocal 2% who say they've never had a psychic experience or a dream come true or a hunch come true on a course of regular meditation or mindfulness or living in the presence, they actually start becoming more intuitive and start thinking, well, maybe I do have a sixth sense or something about me. So yeah, that was a rather roundabout way to say it was, I was a late developer, so give it time. And I think I had too much fear inside me at the time.
And I think that also shows, you know, the way that life can take you on so many different courses and you're constantly learning and you're constantly evolving and different things come into your life at different points, maybe even particularly for a reason, you know. So I think that that is great. And what a life story you have. It's just so great that you've been on with us. Before you go, Teresa, I can't have you on without getting you to interpret some of the most common dreams. Now, I said so many responses came in, so I'll at least read out some of those because I know there were a lot of people that wanted to pick your brains. I just had the pleasure of doing it. So the first one was reoccurring dreams, which is something that I experience often as well. What can we interpret from having a dream, the same sort of dream on a consistent basis?
Oh, celebrate it because your dreaming mind loves you so much. It's not giving up. Right?
Oh, that's sweet.
It's sending you the same message because when you understand the meaning of a dream or decode it, either at an unconscious or a conscious level, your dreams will change and shift. It's that something in your waking life is not adjusting. You're not picking up on what your dreaming mind is trying to tell you. So it's kind of using a bit of tough love in repetition to say, come on, think about this dream theme. What symbolically is my dreaming mind trying to tell me? And once you get that, it'll be like a light bulb moment. That's the mark of a dream decoded. You get a moment of illumination. I get it. It won't come back. It's tough love. And you need to be careful with recurring dreams, though, because eventually your dreaming mind will get a bit frustrated and it will evolve to nightmares because you're not, it'll then use shock tactic. And nightmares are a transformative gift because your dreaming mind is resorting to shock. Because the gentle, subtle rainbows and butterflies are not working. So it's got to send the vampires and the serial killers to you in your dreams because you know that when you wake up, you're going to think about that.
Yeah.
What does it mean? Your dreaming mind is just crying out for you to notice it and to pay attention to it. And anyone out there who says they don't dream or is going through a period of not dreaming, you are. The work is going on an unconscious level, but it'd be so much better for your self-awareness if in the morning your recall was there. And you can boost your recall very easily by thinking about the possibility of dreaming, by listening to this podcast where we're talking about dreaming, because like anything in life, where your attention goes, that's where your consciousness follows. So the fact that you're thinking about dreaming right now, I hope everybody has amazing dreams tonight and then gets busy decoding them. And remember, when you decode them, it's not literal. 99.9% of our dreams are not literal. There is a rare category of psychic dreams that I've written about as well, precognitive. That's another huge category. And afterlife, which you've spoken about, Daisy. But 99.9% of our dreams are symbolic and metaphorical. Go back to your English literature classes when you were interpreting a poem. Your dreaming mind wants to be a poet. It talks to you in the language of poetry and art. It doesn't do it directly. The reason it doesn't do it directly is because when you go to the land of the dreams, you're in a different state of consciousness. And it, like when you go to a different country, it has a different language. Just learn that language, but it's a language of symbols and metaphors.
The next one is one that I've also had often as well. And my nan has had this throughout the course of her life too. And that is dropping a baby or forgetting to feed a baby or putting a baby in danger. And I often wake up from these and I share these with her as well. We have a great relationship and you feel such an immense amount of guilt and fear. And I can't imagine if I have had my own child. I don't have kids at the moment, but if I had a dream like that, I would be absolutely terrified. What do dreams involving babies or involving
either dropping a baby or not feeding a baby or not caring for a baby. What could those symbolize or what could those mean?
Well, obviously, the best person to interpret their dreams is always themselves, because it's based on, because your dreams always can't comment on what is current in your waking life, what is present in your waking life right now. They're very, very current, your dreams. So something in your waking life, the baby, what's that's a symbol for? Now, baby is not a real baby. It's a symbol of a new idea, a new project, a new relationship, something in its infancy which needs time and patience to grow. Or a period of waiting. But a baby is new creations, new ideas. Now, if the baby's being dropped in the dream, that's self-explanatory, that something that needs nurturing, watering, caring for, be that a project, a relationship, self-care, something in your life needs more attention to help it move forward. But it's also a beautiful symbol, baby, because it's new life, isn't it? It's new beginning. Something new is beginning in your life. I love baby dreams because they typically point to the, it's very exciting when a new life is born, something new and exciting. But if you want it to stay exciting, you need to, like a baby, you can't just abandon the baby. It can't take care of itself. You need to nurture it and grow it.
Yeah, it makes so much sense when you start looking into this and when you start interpreting and looking at the bigger picture and looking at the symbolism as well. I think we can just learn so much for to use in our waking life. The last one that I will mention is being naked, in particularly in public as well.
Oh, that's vulnerability, isn't it? But pay attention, because the dreams speak through your feelings and emotions as well. Pay attention when you wake up to the emotion. Did you feel ashamed when you were naked, or did you love it, or was it just normal? Just write down how you felt, because that will teach you, because when you're naked, you're being utterly honest and authentic. You are you. So the teacher in that dream is how you felt. Were you trying to cover yourself or hide? Because if you were, that suggests that maybe there's some people in your life or a situation at the moment where you can't be emotionally honest for whatever reason. And you've got to work out what that is, who these people are, what that situation is. However, if you're walking around naked in your dream and it's absolutely fine, and, you know, celebrate that, go with the flow. You're doing great. Be you, do you.
Oh, this has been so great. I think, you know, I genuinely think that this is you just being here and speaking on the podcast for this episode, Teresa, I think it will bring a lot of peace. I think it will allow people to open up their minds and get to know themselves a lot better. And I think that is a job well done from you. Teresa, I will round off with a question that we ask everyone at the end of every episode, which is, we want to hear your mantra. What are the things that you live by?
My dreams. And that's what I was going to say, you know, because life can't always be wildly exciting. We have to do practical things. But if you're going through a bit of a difficult time, just know that the most thrilling part of your day could actually start when you put your head on the pillow and have a fantastic dream, because dreams can inspire, as I say, so much. Dreams have actually changed the world. If you go into the history of dreams that people have had that inspired creation. So my mantra is dream on, really.
No, I think you summarized it great as well. I know you've got a book.
Oh, yes. How to Catch a Dream. Yeah. It's a companion to my HarperCollins Dream Dictionary, which is also about, you know, encouraging people also to become aware when they're dreaming, lucid dreaming, you know, that movie Inception. So it's fun. It's just simple things people can do to dream and live bigger and better. I'm very excited about it.
That is great. I am 100% picking myself up a copy. You have opened my mind. I mean, I was excited to have you on because I felt like we were going to be so aligned with what we believe in and the way that we see the world. But, you know, as we say, every experience, every person that we meet, you learn something new, and we've learned so much from you. Teresa, thank you so much for being on this episode.
Thank you for all you are and do, Daisy. I really appreciate it. I do think you have a calling to awaken people.
And that concludes this episode of Proverbs with Daisy Maskell. That is me. I hope you enjoyed it. Hit subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes, and I will see you soon.
The cat sat on the Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.